Start out with a couple of hours every day, and bingo. Before you can bat your eyes, it's gone. Thanks for calling today, everybody that did. We had some good calls. Thanks for all your email, and thanks for listening to the program. You listen to the Guy James Show.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate today, in a 51-47 vote, passed the $123 billion spending bill that funds the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It also contains a non-binding goal of ending the combat missions in Iraq by the end of March 2008. President Bush continues to insist he will veto any legislation that contains language about a troop withdrawal timeline. The Iraq war has now entered its fifth year. It has cost more than $350 billion. More than 3,200 American troops have been killed since it began. Kyle Sampson, the former chief of staff to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, voluntarily appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. He told the senators that the principals, referring to Gonzalez and Harriet Myers, the former White House counsel, had approved and signed off on the dismissals of eight U.S. prosecutors. Gonzalez had said earlier this month that he was not involved in what was going on. Sampson said that Gonzalez's statement was not accurate. British Prime Minister Tony Blair once again called for the unconditional return of the 15 British sailors and Marines who were seized by Iran 6 days ago. He said Britain would not negotiate for their release. Iran says the British personnel were in Iranian waters. Britain insists they were in Iraqi waters and has the global positioning coordinates that back up that claim. Britain is taking the case to the United Nations, asking for a statement that would deplore Iran's actions, in addition to demanding their immediate release. Iran has withdrawn its offer to release the only female member in the group of 15 captured. She has reportedly written a second letter which calls for the removal of British troops from Iraq. In the northeastern part of Baghdad today, two suicide bombers detonated their explosives vests at a crowded market. At least 60 people were killed. North of Baghdad in the Diyala province, at least 40 people were killed by three car bombs. The new U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Ryan Crocker, was sworn in today in Baghdad. He had previously been the U.S. ambassador to Pakistan. And in Mexico City, lawmakers are considering a proposal that would legalize most abortions in the capital city of 8 million people. The legislation is strongly opposed by Roman Catholic groups. The vote is scheduled for mid-April. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, coming up next.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his letters home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name. Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
An early spring storm hit the plains today, killing at least 4 people in 3 states. The line of storms was felt in a wide area from Texas to South Dakota. The government's largest telecommunications contract was awarded to AT&T, Quest, and Verizon today. The 10-year deal for voice, video, and data services is worth up to $48 billion. Apple iTunes has introduced a new feature called Complete My Album. It allows users to receive full credit for previously purchase songs if they decide to purchase the entire album on the iTunes Store. In its quarterly survey of consumer loans, the American Bankers Association reports that late payments on some auto and home equity loans have increased. The survey finds that credit card delinquencies have held steady. According to a survey by Manpower, Inc., an employment staffing company, the top three jobs that employers are looking to find workers for are sales representatives, teachers, and mechanics. It turns out that customer information from nearly 46 million credit and debit cards was stolen from discount retailer TJX, which owns TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and others. That's much higher than the retailer had previously thought. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.03 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is up 45 points and the Nasdaq is up 1. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps
11.
Go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn conversation radio into conservation radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody. How we doing today? It's a Monday morning over on that side of the planet. It's a Monday afternoon on that side of the planet. Tuesday morning here. Oh, geez, it just gets so confusing. And anyway, it's been an interesting last couple of days over here. I'm under the definite impression that something snuck through my firewall, and boy, is my main computer running like a heap of dung. But we'll try and get through this as best we can as I try and work out the issues. you should see. I'm glad the audio is crystal clear, Agnes, because I'll tell you what, the chat's running as though it were, you know, a typewriter running through molasses. This is just insane. But anyway, we've got heaps of stuff to do today. And I'll tell you, we have had some absolutely insane weather here recently. We had thunderstorms two nights ago where there were over 5,000 lightning strikes in Sydney alone. And I'm telling you, it was just like, I mean, it was daylight from about four different directions at our place the other night. I mean, it was fantastic to watch, and some way, somehow, we're watching the there's a great bit of weather radar that you can have a look at from the Australian government, and you know, gives you the rainfall kind of thing, and there seemed to be this bubble right around the suburb that we live in. It was absolutely just coming down cats, dogs, buckets, and boatloads. And right where we are, it was just kind of going drip, 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 drip. It was rather astounding. I couldn't quite figure out how that was happening. But you know, we actually got some rain in the catchment areas, which is all very, very good. This is stuff that we need desperately in this country because, well, you know, it's drying up just so unbelievably bad. So, you know, I think the farmers have gotten a little bit of relief, you know, not a huge amount, but some relief over the last week or so. So, you know, at least there'll be some, you know, light growth, you know, in the fields for cattle and things to be able to graze a little bit and maybe save the farmers some of the unbelievable expense of having to bring feed in. And as Australia's wheat crop continues to probably, you know, come in way under expectations again, you know, all these things have a massive impact. Now, kind of an interesting development in the media here, I think. On Sunday night here, Channel 10, which is the Murdoch channel, actually aired a program called Kool-Aid, the National Carbon Test. And it was kind of interesting. Now, Channel 10 can, you know, they can be that really kind of over-sensationalized and over, you know, the cult of personality kind of thing. However, the show is live. It was about 2.5 hours long. And it was hosted by Sandra Sully, who is a really wonderful journalist. Too bad the networks never actually let her do any journalism. They've just had her as a very pretty face for a long time. But they did a couple of interesting things. They rounded around celebrities, you know. But this is kind of a Channel 10 Murdoch kind of a thing. But they had scientists from, I believe it was Sydney University's climatology program, follow a bunch of these celebrities around. There was a model, what's her name, Colette, the actress who now has gone back to doing music with her band. They also followed the band Evermore on the day that they went to the Big Day Out, and a former star of AFL football, and basically followed them around for an entire day and got their carbon footprint. And it was a very interesting to kind of watch everything be monitored. You know, they put power monitoring on their electrical power boxes, went around and checked what they did about recycling, how they got to work, the whole thing. And the program was called Kool-Aid, and I think the website for it is kool-aid.com.au, which basically takes you to a sub-site of Channel 10's site. Now, aside from these celebrities kind of having their lives put underneath the microscope, they also published in the paper a 10-question test for everybody at home to do. And this was designed, I believe, with the Australian Conservation Society or Fund and Sydney Uni to kind of come up with a general general kind of your carbon footprint at home. And unfortunately, the test that they have on their website is not the same test that was done in the show. And so it came down to a point score where, you know, you were either I think they referred to it as cool customers, those that scored really, really low. Then there were carbon cowboys. And then the third category are people that are just an absolute and utter mess. I was very happy to say that the cool customers range was 0 to 20 points. And our household scored a 7. And as soon as we make the jump to full green power, I think we would have had a negative score. So, you know, but it was very interesting. And one of the defining things that came down was every one of these celebrities, some did better than others, but the thing that absolutely made them, you know, carbon just, you know, messes was the flying. And this really spun a lot of people out. So we're going to take our first break here on Foxed Up for a Monday afternoon, evening, Tuesday morning. And we'll be right back after this. And we're going to do a little bit more environmental news. And then we're going to come back with our track of the day. We got a little bit of Living Color today. Damn, that I don't listen to enough. You know, it kind of gets lost in the rotation. But anyway, we'll be back right after this, folks, here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Isn't that? Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Silent, knowing, always in time. See how this love stays divine.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And unfortunately, due to my slightly sick computer, even though I have a really good connection getting to the home studio. The connection coming back to me is not so hot today, so we're not going to have the phone lines open for today's show, and I know Bob was just ringing in, and my apologies, my friend. It would just be way too frustrating for us to try and even have a conversation today, so we'll just not even try, and it's all because of my very ill computer. Now, here's a sign that America's not doing near enough when it comes to our environment. Via businessweek.com, U.S. projects 19% emissions rise. Not a cut, but a rise. By 2020, the United States will emit almost one-fifth more gases that lead to global warming than it did in 2000, increasing the risks of drought and scarce water supplies. And believe me, I'm living in a place that's living with that very fact. The projection comes from an internal draft report from the Bush administration that is more than a year overdue at the United Nations. The Associated Press obtained a copy Saturday. The United States already is responsible for roughly one quarter of the world's carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases that scientists blame for global warming. The draft report, which is still being completed, projects that the current administration's climate policy would result in emissions of 9.2 billion tons of greenhouse gases in 2020, a 19% rise from the 7.7 billion tons in 2000. Doing more than slowing the growth rate of greenhouse gas emissions, which remains the administration's stated goal, will be decided as the science justifies, according to the draft report. The biggest source of the gases is the burning of fossil fuels, chiefly oil, coal, and natural gas. But an authoritative UN report last month from hundreds of scientists and government officials says global warming is very likely caused by mankind and that climate change will continue for centuries, even if heat-trapped gases are reduced. The report was approved by 113 nations, including the United States. It was the strongest language ever used in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, whose last report came in 2001. The New York Times reported on the draft in Saturday's editions. Despite the dire outlook, most scientists say huge sea level rises and the most catastrophic storms and droughts may be avoided if strong action is taken soon. Well, we got to start taking some of this drastic action. And I'm really, really, really sick and tired of what I see happening here, and it happens in the States, that everybody says, you know, oh, but we can't tell the mining outfits that they've got to clean up their act, you see, because it means jobs. Well, I'll tell you right now, there's a whole lot of economic speculation in the community here that we have Western Australia, just as an example, who's running on a mad boom because of nothing else but mining. The rest of the economy is actually in a massive, massive slump. We've got to start doing something else. We have to start moving to alternatives because all this coal production, shipping it out, is actually not in the nation's interest. It's really, really, really simple. Just because you're making money on it doesn't mean it's good. You know, as Joe Vecchio has said, you know, laissez-faire capitalism, you know, and this is that situation, and it just gets me really, really mad. And I'll tell you, yes, I mentioned this Kool-Aid program that Channel 10 did. Well, of course, Andrew Bolt, a journalist for Murdoch, on his blog, just had this over-the-top thing about the fact that it's all scaremongering, it's all bullshit, it's all just a joke, and people who believe in global warming are absolute buffoons. Well, I'll tell you what, right now, Andrew Bolt, your name is now officially, for me, Andrew Dolt. And I'll tell you this as well. I went to his blog yesterday and left a comment and asked him flat out, who's paying you to make these statements? Who's paying you? The coal industry? John Howard's pro-nuclear boys? Come on, it's time to come clean. And for the very, very first time on a news.com.au blog, my comment was not approved. And I told him about my radio show and about this network, and I'll take them on head-to-head. He was on Sunrise last week as a denier, and David Koch, you know, did a damn good job on handing him his head, basically, and showing him for the fool that he is. But I'll tell you, there was just and the comment thread on this guy's blog, you know, you just had these people, they're all going, you know, Al Gore's an ass and all this and all that, and it's just like, where do you people come from? Where do you people come from? And why the hell is it, what is the problem with cleaning up our act? And part of my comment on his blog was the simple fact that, why do you have a problem with cleaning up the air and the water? It'll actually bring health costs down. It'll actually help the economy. It'll actually better this nation. So who is paying you? This is what I want to know. The same people that paid all those bogus scientists to go around for years saying that there was no correlation between smoking and people's health? Because as we know, it's the same scientists. And I think with that, I'm going to go to the track of the day, because I'll tell you what, I'm about to have a conniption over here. And I think that this is a really, really great track for this time as you know, things in the United States and here start gearing up towards the election, the various elections. You know, it's still a little ways away in the United States, but the race has started very, very early for a whole lot of reasons, because people are not happy. People want to see change, and people are finding that they're not being represented by government. We're having the same problems here. And so I figured a good track is this Living Color track. Now, this is going back to a bit of, you know, late 80s kind of, you know, what used to be considered kind of R&B slash metal. I don't know. I don't care what you call it. It's just good. Cult of Personality. And, you know, I was quite a bit younger when this song came out, and it seems to mean a whole lot more to me in modern times. I now kind of get what this song was really about. And as we go and start supporting our different, you know, preferred candidates, you know, those of us that really, really think Al Gore is doing a wonderful job for the environment, remembering that we cannot get caught up in this concept of the cult of personality. And not only that, I love the line in this track where they say, you know, about real leaders, and when a leader speaks, that leader dies. And we've had too much of that in history, and this is obviously, you know, in reference to John F. Kennedy, to Martin Luther King, and others. So, without further ado, just some awesome guitar work, great vocals, one of my favorite rock and roll drummers, Living Color and Cult of Personality. Roll it, Agnes.
That we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The cult of personality.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to Naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Welcome back to Boxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And at the end of Dr. Bill's program there before I came on, and I just so dig Dr. Bill. I just, you know, feel like I should be in the lecture hall sometimes, you know, and pulling out the notebook and taking notes. But, you know, he was talking about Internet radio, and I agree with him. I think that Internet radio is most definitely the future, and this network is on the cutting edge of things. Now, I want everybody to go to RadioParadise.com. Now, this is a listener-supported internet music station, and these guys have really been on the forefront of the attacks on internet radio by the establishment, and right on the front page. There's a very disturbing story, and I really, really think our listeners need to get on this, because it threatens the very future of what we do. Okay, now, because we're not a full-time music station, this doesn't necessarily affect us as much, but it could. And they state here, it says, the U.S. Copyright Office has just released their new set of rates for payment of royalties by internet radio, and they have ignored all of the facts presented by webcasters, including Radio Paradise, and gave the record industry exactly what they asked for: royalty rates so high that they would put Radio Paradise and every other independent U.S. webcaster out of business. There's a detailed blog post on it, and he says, if you care about the future of Radio Paradise and also people like us here at the Horn, please take a moment to read what's written. For some time, we've suffered with a system where we pay a large chunk, 10 to 12% of our income, to the big four record companies, while FM stations and radio conglomerates like Clear Channel pay nothing. They pay nothing in royalties, okay? Understand that. So at the moment, they're wanting 10 to 12% of any income that we might make. Now, this network at the moment doesn't really have an income, because we are still growing, we're still looking for sponsorship and developmental funds. But that's okay. This is why we do this. We're trying to create something very, very, very real. Now, it continues. Now they want even more. In Radio Paradise's case, an amount equal to 125% of their income. Did you hear that? The big four record companies want, in royalties, more than the network takes in. This is not a good thing. And so the author here, you know, plainly states, says, our only hope is to create as much public awareness and outrage about this staggeringly unfair situation as possible. Neither the record industry nor Congress are ready to listen to us at this point, but members of the public and the media may well be, and we need to get their attention. And they say, what can you do? If you have a blog, write about it. Feel free to quote anything that this author has written. If you have a good blog post about the subject, dig it or slash dot it. If you work for a media outlet, look over the facts of the situation and see if you don't feel the same sense of outrage that Radio Paradise does. Write a letter to the editor of your favorite magazine or newspaper. Let everyone you can know about the loss it would make to you personally if your favorite internet radio stations, including Radio Paradise or the Head On Radio Network, were no longer available. Okay? And I can't even tell you how frustrating, and, you know, I mean, you all know, there's, as someone who used to work in the entertainment industry, there's no love lost with me and the major record labels, because I think that they're hoons. I think that they're goons. I think that they are absolutely, just absolutely nothing but bad news for music, for freedom of speech. I just, it absolutely to me is astounding, because, and my good mate Scott from B1 Louder Productions, he and I have discussed this issue at length over the years, that copyright law is badly written from the ground up, and we keep trying to put, you know, all these kind of masking tape fixes to it, and copyright law continues to be developed where it doesn't protect the artists. I mean, they say this is all about protecting artists and all this other stuff. No, it's about protecting their stranglehold on the music that you hear. Okay? And, you know, I just can't even emphasize enough how the conglomeration of media has absolutely destroyed music as an art form. There is so little good stuff that gets out. The record labels take no risks anymore. Everything is, you know, test marketed to the hilt. Country music has become mostly bad rock and roll. I mean, really, really bad. I saw this Kernaghan clip, an Australian country guy, on the telly yesterday, and it was just the most oversexed, you know, cheesy. It's a song called "The New Bush," and, you know, not shrubby, but, you know, the bush, as in the outback. And it was, you know, I just looked at it and went, you know, geez, Lee, could you have any influence on this at all? You know, I mean, you know, this just, you know, bodacious blonde on horseback, and the way she's riding the horse is all kind of very, shall we say, not exactly subtle. You know, the guys are riding motorbikes, tearing up through the outback and all this stuff. And yet in the same lyric, he's talking about how it's getting harder because of the drought. And just kind of the juxtaposition of all this just really, really kind of, I thought it was just absolutely, absolutely sad and pathetic, you know. And Susan in the chat, in our production chat, is making some comment about Metallica, and I'm curious as to what she's meaning about that, because, I mean, I remember years ago Metallica used to, you know, pretty much turn the other cheek when it came to, you know, in the early days, bootlegs and things like that, and they would actually collect up concert goers' bootlegs and videos and whatnot and actually clean them up and release them. I had a really, really great bootleg of their now deceased bass player's last gig in Sweden for years. It's all just a bit insane. It's gotten completely out of control. All the complaining and moaning about downloads is all just a ploy because they've been releasing crap for the last 20 years. And if it's good, people will buy it. Because I do. And there's been very little to buy recently. And, you know, I use bands like Tool as a great example. You know, they don't do the track-by-track iTunes thing because they believe that their albums are complete bodies of work. And then not only that, you know, the it can be 3 to 5 years between records. So you end up getting this really, really high quality product with, and one of the things that they use to try and lure people into wanting to buy the actual CD is the fact that the packaging.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution, it's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
All right. Welcome, everybody, back to Talk Stuff. What sometimes has made the world go round. But anyway. Okay. Now, you know, Al Gore won, you know, an award or two for An Inconvenient Truth. But from Common Dreams, Mr. Borowski, who is a great, I really dig what he writes, and, you know, he's a science teacher, has a piece saying, you know, teachers, before using An Inconvenient Truth in classrooms, show oil on ice. Now, this aired about 2 weeks ago here in Australia, and this has got to be one of the most fantastic bloody documentaries I have ever seen on the environment. And it deals with the Arctic National Reserve, the threats of renewed drilling or expanded drilling into the reserve. They follow the Inuit people on how their hunting has been absolutely devastated by the pipeline, the oil companies, and they very, very well explain the fact that, you know, Shrubby and his folks, and just like his father, who all have been pushing for this for years to open up the reserve for expanded drilling, all say, you know, it's about America's energy future. Now, here's where the bullshit lies. Most of the oil that's come out of the drilling that's already been going there doesn't come to the United States. It's exported to Asia, most of it. There's no guarantee that it'll actually help, and it'll be a drop in the bucket compared to the insane demand that without changes to the way we run our lives, you know, the increase in demand for oil, I mean, we've already hit the beginnings of what is referred to as peak oil, right? And this is all just a ploy for profiting. More profits, right? And the oil companies don't give a damn. And in Oil on Ice, they do a very, very wonderful job showing how the cleanup of the Valdez disaster never actually took place, right? They took, you know, they go and just start overturning rocks, and you know, the high evaporative content of the oil, yes, did evaporate and it went away. However, the really, really thick, mucky stuff, the really, really toxic crap, is all there, just underneath all the surface. And it's just continued to devastate the ecology of the area. You know, 2 years after the disaster, fishing was decimated. And, you know, they talk about the financial gains of all this. How about the financial losses to the people who made their living fishing? It's gone. It's absolutely gone. And I have to say, I really, really agree with Borowski on this, that Oil on Ice might be a better film than An Inconvenient Truth to show first. And they cover the gamut. They cover alternative fuel vehicles. They also cover the Inuits that went to D.C. to fight expanded drilling in the Arctic National Reserve. And there's a really, really, you know, shocking moment where, you know, a couple of the Inuit people end up meeting up with, I believe it's one of their own congressmen in Washington, saying, you know, we're here to get in on the debate of the expanded drilling. And the congressman says, so you're here to support it, right? And the guy says, no, I'm here to stop it. And right then, this guy's own representative turns tail and walks off and turns around and says, you want to refund the money you get then? You know, because Alaskans actually get, you know, instead of paying taxes, they actually get a bit of an incentive for actually living there. And they talk about the construction jobs that the industry creates. That's a bunch of nonsense, too, because it's only the construction jobs might, you know, for $20 an hour, might only be there for 2 or 3 months of the year. And then these people still have to go out and support their families. They still have to feed their families. And they're still, and I mean, they've still lived a sustenance hunting type of lifestyle for thousands of years. And the Inuit from both the United States and Canada have been getting together and actually meeting sometimes for the first time and trying to combine their resources, because this affects all of them. You know, and just the noise from the construction drive the herds that they hunt further and further away. And just a little bit, just the top of this piece from Common Dreams. It says, this week Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth won a much-deserved Academy Award for his riveting documentary on climate change science. Many teachers, including myself, are obligated to use Mr. Gore's carbon dioxide graphs and stunning visuals of glacial melting and climate change exacerbated by hurricanes to educate the nation's 55 million students. But know this, teachers and caring parents, if we want to move climate change knowledge from facts to action, I strongly suggest a 1-2-punch strategy. Show An Inconvenient Truth after showing the best environmental education film I have ever watched, Oil on Ice. This documentary not only outlines the folly of drilling for oil in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, it contains an incredible array of climate change solutions intertwined with a cultural need to create a sustainable energy society here in the United States. Couple this showing with a subsequent viewing of Mr. Gore's work, and you will have a populace of young adults questioning our insatiable addiction to fossil fuels and demanding that adults who hold power right now implement realistic solutions that could reduce carbon dioxide by 80-90% immediately, not the preposterous and woefully inadequate calls for reasonable reductions many decades out. And I absolutely agree with this. And he continues saying, having taught for 26 years, I've only encountered a handful of environmental education films that have interwoven the needed ingredients that produce a visual that captures the attention and hearts of young adults. Oil on Ice has that rare recipe, spectacular wildlife scenes that tug at the heartstrings throughout, hard data well explained and factual with a riveting narration. Today's students, their attention spans conditioned by MTV-style quick-paced production, often lose interest in talking heads and the talk-over strategy in Oil on Ice, employing memorable scenes, kept my students attentive and in rapid-fire order, asking numerous questions. Barely over 40 minutes long, it took me 3 days to show the visual, stopping often to take notes and engage in lively debate. what teachers fondly refer to as that teachable moment. When an inconvenient truth depicts our climate dilemma in brilliant science, teachers must massage the film when it overstays long scenes of Al Gore and references to his political history. So I have to agree, and I was absolutely just awed by this film, and I would suggest finding it somewhere. I don't know if it's available on DVD. Hopefully, you know, the Discovery Channel in the States or something will show it. SBS showed it here as part of their Cutting Edge series, which was just wonderful. So with that, folks, we're going to wrap things up. Thank you to Agnes Kincaid for producing today's program. Thanks to Susan and Jean, our bloggers, for everything that they do, our mods, Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers, Scott Barry at B1 Ladder Productions, and, of course, the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters for everything that they do for us here at The Horn. You know, and we'll be back tomorrow with more stuff and hopefully a healthy computer so that I can take some calls. So, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
The attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment. Tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. Kyle Sampson, the former chief of staff to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, voluntarily appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. He told the senators that the principals, referring to Gonzalez and Harriet Myers, the former White House counsel, had approved and signed off on the dismissals of 8 U.S. prosecutors. Gonzalez had said earlier this month that he was not involved in what was going on. Sampson said that Gonzalez's statement was not accurate. After the morning session, Democratic Senator Charles Schumer said, quote, "The credibility of the Attorney General on this issue is more or less shattered." The Senate today, in a 51-47 vote, passed the $123 billion spending bill that funds the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. It also contains a non-binding goal of ending the combat missions in Iraq by the end of March 2008. President Bush continues to insist he will veto any legislation that contains language about a troop withdrawal timeline. British Prime Minister Tony Blair once again called for the unconditional return of the 15 British sailors and Marines who were seized by Iran 6 days ago. He said Britain would not negotiate for their release. Iran says the British personnel were in Iranian waters. Britain insists they were in Iraqi waters and has the global positioning coordinates that back up the claim. Britain is taking the case to the United Nations asking for a statement that would deplore Iran's actions in addition to demanding their immediate release. Iran has withdrawn its offer to release the only female member of the group of 15 captured. She has reportedly written a second letter which calls for the removal of British troops from Iraq. CNN is also reporting that U.S. forces in the Persian Gulf had tried to help the British crew before they were taken by Iranian guards, but was not able to find them or reestablish communications with them. In the northeastern part of Baghdad today, two suicide bombers detonated their explosives vests at a crowded market. At least 61 people were killed. North of Baghdad, in the Diyala province, at least 43 people were killed by three car bombs. The new U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Ryan Crocker, was sworn in today in Baghdad. He had previously been the U.S. ambassador to Pakistan. He replaces Zalmay Khalilzad, who has been named by President Bush to be the new U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox.